Good day, everyone. I just wanted to start off by thanking you so much for tuning in. You have no idea how much your community radio appreciates your support. Some of you may recognize my voice. I am Taylor McClure, and I am the host of CIDI's daily news show, Township's Daily News Bits. On this episode of Township's Daily News Bits, I had the pleasure of chatting with Cody Blois, MP for King's Hants, Nova Scotia, and chair of the Standing Committee on Agriculture and Agri-Food about the recent spike in food prices that we've all been witnessing across the country. So Cody, I know that the Standing Committee on Agriculture and Agri-Food started conducting a study on food price inflation in November of 2022. So we have seen a drastic increase in food prices across the country. What sort of factors are contributing to this increase that we are seeing? What sort of factors came out of that report or that are coming out of that study that you're currently working on?
Sure. So I'll just give some context to why the committee decided to undertake the study in the first place. And then perhaps for your listeners, a little bit of the dynamic of how committees work in a parliamentary setting. We know that inflation right now, although Canada is better than other some comparative countries, it is hitting hard for a number of families. Food prices are high, consistently have been over 10% for the last year. And it was brought forward as a motion, unanimously agreed upon that this is something that we should be studying to try to examine and see if there is some correlation between higher prices and what those factors may be and any recommendations that we can give back to the government. Ultimately, the role of parliamentary committees is to help hold the government to account, but also to be able to hear from witnesses and different stakeholders and be able to provide recommendations and reports back to the government. We've started the studies. I anticipate that there will be more. And then ultimately, we're hope to be able to table a report probably sometime during the winter session. I don't hazard to guess exactly when that may be, but likely in March. We've had two meetings so far. The meetings have generally focused on having stakeholders and representatives from the grocery sector itself to be able to understand the dynamic of how they go about determining their prices, whether or not they've seen a change in how they actually go about pricing products. The testimony that we've heard to date from the representatives from the grocery sector is that their gross margin in terms of pricing on food-related items has not changed, is the evidence that they've given thus far. When you think about grocers and their dynamic, whether it be Sobeys, whether or not it be Loblaws, Metro, these are companies that have a variety of different sources of revenue, not just the grocery sector itself. We as a committee have not been privy to the actual financial statements. Those are held very close to the chest of the companies themselves. But that is the evidence that we've heard thus far. The grocery companies are citing supply chain disruptions, higher prices in terms of fuel and food and input costs that they are receiving as a result of processors and farmers. We are going to be hearing from other stakeholders, and so at this point, to be able to say definitively, I have an exact answer as to why we're seeing what we are, it would be too premature.
Yeah, so it seems to be like there's a variety of factors at play here that some aren't completely understood yet.
We know undoubtedly that we're facing inflation across the economy. And so I think it is reasonable to assume that part of the reason why you're seeing higher costs is a result of the costs that farmers and producers themselves are facing. And some of those costs are being passed on. The other thing that as it relates, I mean, often individuals or particularly some members of parliament will point to higher profits for some of the major grocery chains. When we look back at the pandemic, I think that there is some plausible element to what we've seen, i.e. many people were buying food, particularly even last year and the year before, from home. People were not going out to restaurants as often. There was, of course, we weren't open in that sense. And so I do think there was a significant change in how consumers were spending money in terms of buying groceries. So in terms of the volumes, you might have seen a higher volume of profit because there might have been actually more food being bought from grocery stores than in a traditional scene. The other piece is that I think some of the testimony we've heard thus far in terms of the correlation between some of the profits from the major grocers and, of course, prices generally in stores is that some of the line and the business revenue is actually with pharmaceuticals. And if we think about even right now, where there's a lot of flu around, COVID still exists, there is a lot of products that are being bought through pharmacies. Particularly during the pandemic, pharmacies were a gate point for vaccines. So it is, I think, reasonable to say that corporate profits may be higher as a result of the volume of individuals that would have been accessing those pharmaceutical services. So we are undertaking this study. Again, we're going to continue to do it because we know that it matters. We're going to hopefully come up with some evidence and some recommendations that we can take back to the government. I also think it's important to note that the Competition Bureau, which in my view is really well-placed, Taylor, as an independent agency of Parliament, to be able to investigate and to be able to look in to see if there is any type of behavior that is anti-competitive, whether or not that is indeed happening, and whether or not there is a concern for consumers that these companies are taking advantage of their position. That's ongoing, and I'm really not in a place to say, but that report hopefully will come out in 2023.
Okay, yeah, that was actually one of my questions, because yeah, as a consumer, when you enter the grocery stores and you see these prices, like, people are going to start asking questions and start, you know, pointing blame in one direction. So I was just wondering if you were able to speak on the role that grocers play, if anything at all, but I completely understand if the study hasn't been conducted yet. You mentioned at the beginning of the interview that food has basically increased from 10%, if I understood correctly.
So on average, food prices are in and around 10%, just slightly higher than inflation itself. And again, different commodities, you've seen different increases over the last year.
Are there any other numbers or statistics that you'd like to share in regards to that? Like, I know I went the other day, like you said, different prices have gone up. It's like I went grocery shopping and now lettuce is almost $8.
Well, I think we would be a bit naive if we just think that somehow we have to understand the nuance and the connectivity of the markets. Mm-hmm. So, for example, you mentioned lettuce. Part of the challenge why lettuce has been difficult to find recently is because of some of the climate-related conditions in southwestern United States. And so if we look back over the last couple of years, I think a couple things are notable. Our supply chains have been severely impacted, and you would say, well, look, that was 2 years ago. They still have not fully recovered. And, you know, we are globally connected, including in our food, where we source our food. So climate change is having a major impact on that. COVID has, and I think to some extent some residual impact is still there. And we're also seeing a changing nature of the supply chains in and of itself. And so that may be resulting in some higher costs as well in terms of product being sourced more locally that may have a little bit of a higher cost than perhaps being able to access those goods elsewhere on different markets because of the shortage as well. Labor plays a big challenge. I know when we talk about in Quebec and across the country, there was a million unfilled jobs in Canada. So when you look at the actual price increases that are happening on wages, that's having a factor. There's a lot of different issues at play that I think are contributing. Our committee is really focused on, okay, once we hear this information, what are some tangible recommendations that we can put back to government? And that's where our focus will be.
Now, like you mentioned, the whole point of you doing this study is to hear from the different stakeholders and then working with that to find solutions as to how food price inflation can be dealt with. Has the committee already started looking at this?
There's 11 other members that sit on the committee. They may have already have some thoughts about best practices or what we should do, but as a formal process, the committee will start to get into the drafting stages and recommendations once we're done hearing from witnesses.
Okay.
Again, I expect that would be sometime, although it's subject to change, I think it's reasonable to expect that that report could be sometime in March or April, that we would report back to the House of Commons, and then the government will be expected to respond on the basis of the recommendations that we put forward. Again, at this point, we've largely heard from the major grocers. I think it's going to be important to hear from other agri-processors, farmers themselves, some economists, to be able to understand the complexity of what we're dealing with, and then if there's some tangible recommendations of how best the government might be able to assist. One of the things that I think is important, it may not see an absolute change directly on the retail side in terms of pricing, but the grocery code of conduct is something that I think is important. What this is the concept that right now there is intrinsically an empower balance between the five major retailers in the country and some of the agri-food producers and farmers that are actually sourcing their product into those companies. And so to try to establish a code that would actually help govern and create more parity in those relationships is something that the government is looking at. The argument is that that can help create better balance and better equity for farmers and agri-food processors that are putting into that system, and that it can result in some cases in reducing prices. I don't think we should suggest that that's a Hail Mary, that that's going to solve things altogether, but I do think it's one tangible step the government can move on that can maybe perhaps help the situation.
Okay, great. In the second meeting that you had, listening to the grocers, was there anything else that came out of that meeting that you wanted to highlight that you think would be important for the general public to be aware of?
We had Dr. Sylvain Charbois, who is at Dalhousie University. He was there to talk about some of the different dynamic at play. Again, his testimony and the way I heard it as the chair was that the margins are still relatively tight in the food sector, notwithstanding the fact that we've seen higher prices. His view was that there wasn't significant margins or somehow improper conduct that was being taken on by the grocers. Their report does project that prices will continue to rise in 2023, which I think means that unfortunately this is going to be a conversation that we're going to have to have and find ways that we can help solve, and whether or not that means additional supports for farmers, whether or not that means looking at ways that we can support the supply chain. These are things that I know is top of mind for Canadians, particularly those who are lower and middle income. These are steep prices that we have to try to deal with, and it is a big element of affordability, and it's fundamental to Canadians' affordability and top of mind.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I wasn't sure if there was anything else, Cody, that you wanted to mention. You have provided a lot of information, and I'm sure people are going to be super interested when this study is finished and comes out. But I wasn't sure if there was anything else you wanted to mention in the meantime that you think would be important for people to be aware of.
Look, I think our role as a parliamentary committee is to dig into this issue to make sure that we can hear the evidence and hear some of the dynamic of what may be causing some higher prices, and then be able to provide that recommendation back to government. Looking forward to hearing more. I know Canadians will be following this issue. And at the end of the day, although it's a complex and nuanced issue, I do think we can get to a place where we can have important solutions tabled and to be able to try to make sure that we can make a difference in the days ahead.
And I wanted to ask as well, are these meetings, the documentation that comes out of these meetings, are they available to the public for those who might want to keep up to date with what's taking place?
Yeah, no, every word that's said in committee, certainly with the exception of when we're drafting reports and some of the recommendations, all of these witness testimony, all of our proceedings are available publicly, and I would encourage those who might be interested to reach out, to watch the proceedings, and maybe even engage their member of parliament about their thoughts locally.
Well, thank you so much again, Cody, for your time. I really appreciate it.
Okay, thanks so much. Take care.
Thank you. You as well. Bye.
I also have the pleasure of speaking with Gary Crandall, who oversees the Brome Lake Food Bank here in Knowlton, about how the increase in food prices has been impacting citizens at the local level. Gary, we have been seeing major inflation in the prices of food, and it seems like things may continue in that direction, and they're not going to slow down. So as the person that oversees the Lapro Food Bank, have you witnessed how this rise in the cost of food have affected food security here in Brome Lake?
Well, we certainly have a lot more people coming to the food bank. For a while, when COVID was rampant, we were giving out IGA cards. Our members liked that, but they didn't go anywhere near as far as the hamper of food that they would get, depending on the number of people in the family. Of course, our costs, we have to buy the food. I mean, IGA does give us a discount, but nonetheless, it is very expensive. But we're very lucky. Community supports us very, very well. The organizations, the family counter, businesses, a lot of individuals make regular donations to the food bank. So we're surviving. Okay. But this is the 32nd year of the food bank, and we've never had demands like we've had this year.
Wow.
In November, we gave out 65 cards. We only do emergencies in December. Okay. Because the Lions Club, they do their Christmas project, and there are a lot of the same people that would be receiving.
Yes.
We had food bank just last week, and we packed for 59 people, and since 59 requests, I should say, And since then, we've had three emergencies. So usually, you know, years before, we became involved in 98 when we retired, and we'd have maybe 15 or 20. And then it raised somewhat to, about 30. And now it's always over 40.
It's almost doubled, yeah. The families and individuals that are coming in, have they expressed concerns with you about this issue, like when they come to you for help?
Well, there are two types. We have those that are registered with us, and they pick up monthly if they need it. They phone in and register on the answering machine. But then there are these emergencies that come. Sometimes they don't have anything. Sometimes they don't even have like a pan to cook in and all that sort of thing.
Now, other organizations that coordinate food banks, such as the Centre Action Bénévole in Cownsville, mm-hmm. their big food bank, I interviewed them not long ago, and they expressed the pressure they have faced over the last year or so due to the high demand of the food bank. From what I'm getting, the Latbrone Food Bank has faced something very similar. How have you gone about managing it? I know there's been struggle for volunteers. Sometimes they're missing donations.
Right. Well, we're lucky. There are 20 volunteers, and we all have our different jobs to do and that sort of thing. Works out really well. And if someone can't, there's always replacements and that sort of thing. Being available, we have the answer machine at the community center, so I can dial in or someone else can dial in every day. And so we do it at least twice a day just to see if anyone has phoned in to register. And if that's the case, we try and follow up as soon as possible. Oftentimes it's the same day, but sometimes we'll have to say, you know, if it's late in the day, we'll do it first thing in the morning and you can come and pick it up.
Yeah, so you're one of those groups that are really lucky to have a good group of volunteers helping out.
Yeah, for sure.
Did you have to, because you're saying how demand increased so much, did the food bank have to go out and do fundraisers, for example,
no.
or did you have to make demands
no
or
fundraising
requests?
Whatsoever. Everything is financed by the community so far, touch wood. We haven't had any fundraising. Yeah, Isabel Charest, she gives us a donation and that sort of thing a couple of times a year, and which we're very thankful for, but there's not any government involvement. There's the SOS Dépannage in Granby. I was talking with them just the other day, and they asked if we wanted to get involved with their fresh fruit distribution. And I said, you know, we're only once a month. We're an emergency food bank because mm-hmm. when it started, they were checks, but they were only given out at the end of the month for widows, disability, and all that sort of thing. But now people are getting checks all different times during the year depending on their situation. But our mission hasn't changed. We're still an emergency food bank to get them over, because it's always the second to last Friday of the month, to get them over to the end of the month. And so when I explained that to her, she said, well, it really wouldn't work because, you know, you have to have refrigeration and all that sort of thing. And we do get, or we have in the past, had fresh fruit, vegetables, baked goods, cheeses, yogurts from IGA. But now that stopped in the fall, and it hasn't started again. Quest is in, but we'll have to see.
Okay. Now, the reason why I was asking was because sometimes there's not enough goods to fulfill the demand sometimes. So, and are people allowed to donate food to the food bank
as
well?
Oh, sure.
Yeah?
There's some people, Passerelle, for example, they did a collection. KDC did a collection just before Christmas, and they came with their boxes and all that. You know, we appreciate it, and it adds diversity to what we pack. There are two people who regularly buy for the food bank on their own. They give us the food, and it's practical stuff. And then they give us the bill, and so we can give them a receipt for gifts in kind. So that helps us, and it also helps them.
Like the hike in food prices, sometimes it may discourage people from donating as much food as they normally would, but this is not something that you're facing. People are continuing to support you.
Still. And I mean, at the pub for the dinner at Christmas time, they donated $4,300, plus there are a number of gift cards for either IGA or Dépannage Rouge, as well as there were two large truckloads full of food. So we did very well.
Yeah.
And most of that food was very usable.
Yeah, so the community is recognizing that there's a need.
Oh, yes,
especially
for sure, yes.
Now, moving forward, how will you continue to ensure that no Brome Lake citizen here is running off an empty stomach?
Well, it's hard to say what the future is going to bring. But, I mean, it's just a matter of being aware. We have our ad each week in the Brome County News saying that there is a food bank. And people that have lived here for a long time, they can't get over that there's a food bank in Knowlton. But, you know, we've had some professional people who all of a sudden have had to come to the food bank. And, of course, their pride gets in the way. But we'd go in the evening to give them food, that sort of thing.
Some people just fall on hard times
here
and there.
That's it, exactly.
Yeah, they just need help for a little while.
That's it.
For people who, like, might need to reach out to you, are you able to provide information as to how they can go about doing so?
Sure. They just phone the community center, 242-2020, and our extension is 319. And they just leave a message. They'll say, John Doe, 243-6608, and we'll phone back and make arrangements. The first thing we do, though, check to make sure that they are living here in Knowlton, Brome, or West Bolton.
Well, those are all the questions I have for you, Gary, but I wasn't sure if there was anything else you wanted to mention.
No, just for people not to forget us. There's a lot of people around town that do need our help. People are very appreciative when they come to pick up their cards or their food, and I always say, well, you know, it's because you're living in Knowlton that you are so well looked after. Because if, and that's not to thank us, because we're just the middle people that, but they really do appreciate, you know, the help and that. And because we have sort of two types of clients, the perennials that have been on for ages, and then there are the new ones. And some of the perennials, you know, we've talked to, and they said, you know, we could get along without the food bank. We wouldn't get along as well, but we know we're going to get certain things at the food bank, so that frees up money that we can use to buy other things.
Yes.
And, you know, now with the price of vegetables and with the price of milk and that sort of thing, especially for a family, oh, terrible. Anyway, so we're there to help as much as we can, that's for sure.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Gary. Earlier in the interview, Cody Blois mentioned the Competition Bureau of Canada. CIDI did reach out to the Competition Bureau to receive comment. However, they declined to do an interview with us. Julie Baribeau, Senior Communications Advisor for the Competition Bureau, did agree, however, to provide written responses. And they provided important information for our listeners. So for those who may not know the Competition Bureau, it's an independent law enforcement agency that protects and promotes competition for the benefit of Canadian consumers and businesses. The Bureau is responsible for the administration and enforcement of four pieces of legislation, more particularly the Competition Act. The Competition Act contains both criminal and civil provisions aimed at preventing anti-competitive practices in the marketplace. They focus on investigating and deterring false or misleading representations and deceptive marketing practices, detecting, investigating, and deterring cartels, including bid rigging, price fixing, market allocation and output restrictions, reviewing mergers, and promoting competition. Considering its role in ensuring a thriving Canadian economy, CIDI asked the Bureau to comment on the inflation of food prices in Canada and what its position is. The Bureau responded by saying that with inflation on the rise, Canadian consumers have seen their purchasing power decline. This is especially true when buying groceries. In fact, grocery prices in Canada are increasing at the fastest rate it's seen in 40 years. Many factors are thought to have impacted the price of food, including extreme weather, higher input costs, Russia's invasion of Ukraine, and supply chain disruptions. The Bureau is further studying whether competition factors are also at work. To find out, they are doing a study on this issue from now until June 2023. Background information and the complete market study notice are available on the Bureau's website. The study will examine three main questions. To what extent are higher grocery prices a result of changing competitive dynamics? What can we learn from steps that other countries have taken to increase competition in the sector? How can governments lower barriers to entry and expansion to stimulate competition for consumers? The Bureau noted that its focus is generally on conduct that may harm competition or the competitive process in Canada. As such, should the Bureau uncover any evidence during its retail grocery market study that the Competition Act has been contravened, the Bureau will investigate and take appropriate action. In undertaking a retail grocery market study, however, the Bureau is not examining any specific allegations of wrongdoing. Addressing the concerns of grocers price-gouging consumers, the Bureau explained that the Competition Act does not have specific provisions related to high prices, and it does not have the authority to regulate prices. Only the provinces and territories have the authority to regulate prices in Canada. Businesses in Canada are generally free to set their own prices. For example, charging higher prices when there is an increased demand is not illegal under the Act. There are also many reasons why prices go up and down, or are different from one region to another, that do not necessarily raise issues under the Act. The Act contains criminal provisions against conspiracies to fix prices and other provisions dealing with price maintenance and abusive behavior by a dominant firm, resulting in a substantial lessening or prevention of competition. The Bureau takes action whenever it finds evidence of conduct that is prohibited by the Act, including in the grocery market. The Competition Bureau further explained that it's obliged by law to conduct its work confidentially. Therefore, they can't comment or provide opinions on specific conduct in the marketplace. To determine whether a situation raises concerns under the Competition Act and whether an investigation should be launched, the Bureau needs to complete a thorough review of all the facts in a case. The Bureau encourages anyone who suspects an individual or a business of engaging in anti-competitive practices to file a complaint on their website via their online form. The Competition Bureau encouraged Canadian citizens to stay tuned for its grocery market study in June of 2023. The report will include recommendations to relevant government authorities, including measures they can take to help improve competition in the grocery sector. We thank the Competition Bureau for taking the time to respond to our questions and providing this critical information to our listeners. Township's Daily News Bits is a program sponsored by Local Journalism Initiative.